Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Notre Dame fans, whenever you are listening or watching the Mike Goolsby Show. If you're live with us, if you're watching a replay, if you're listening via podcast, just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this week's show. November 26th, we are just off a Notre Dame 56-23 victory over the Stanford Cardinal. Notre Dame wrapping up the regular season with a 9-3 record. Hope everyone is doing well. And Goolsby, fill us in on how you're doing, my friend. The move and whatnot that we've been talking about for a few weeks. How's everything going?
Oh, this is how committed your boy is to the pod. So I'm in the middle, and I've been talking about it, forgive me, but like a couple weeks now. So we're finally moving into the new house, like as we speak. So hurried back to the old house, jumped in the shower. Here I am with you. So did get a chance, though, to watch the game twice. I heard Jagasaw got in.
Okay.
I was like, oh dude, I've got to go through this last kind of fourth quarter with a fine tooth comb. Like, I want to see my boy Jagasaw. I'm starting up the bandwagon, you know, whoever, it's the more the merrier, jump on in terms of the Charles Jagasaw bandwagon.
What position did he end up playing?
He's in at, if you recall, we broke down his high school film. I figured he'd land at guard. So in this game, you got to see him at left guard.
Okay. Yeah, I was prepping for the show. I didn't even notice that. And he looked good, Charles Jagasaw, five-star freshman?
He looked good, and he looked big. So as I like to say, it's like, give me the biggest, best athlete as far as your linemen are concerned. And it's still very early, but he looks like he checks both of them boxes.
Yeah. So, Notre Dame sloppy early and then blowout late. This is pretty much what Notre Dame has been all season against some of these bad teams. Mike, what'd you think about the was that 33-point win for the Irish?
Yeah, you were hoping, especially at the end of the season. It's not that, you know, not that it's a bust, but you're not going to New Year's Six, you didn't make the Final Four, whatever. So the focus shifts towards the future and playing some of these, a Stanford-like team, a 3-8 team. One of the big draws to the television screen, to the Pac-12 network, your boy's bougie over here. I actually had it, Singer, so I didn't have to do the FUBO thing. But that's what kind of brings you to the television, is to watch some of these young players play. And it was like, going into this game, it's like, man, let's just run up the score. Let's get Hartman out. Let's get Angeli in. Let's get these young players in, right? So again, looking towards the future. So clunky start. It is the case with this team, Singer, as you said. Start slow against crappy teams and then just smoke them in the second half. It's just a boat race in the second half. And this is yet another example of that. My biggest takeaway, and it's just one of these things that you sort of sense, or I sense, difficult to put a finger on. But like, this was the most comfortable I think I've seen the team look, and the most fun I feel like I've seen them have. And I don't know if you saw the clip, Mike, but the trophy for this game is like a big glass bowl, right? Crystal bowl. And Freeman was drinking a Gatorade out of the bowl, and then he passed it to Joe Alt. And it's like, I love to see that. It just looked like Freeman is continuing to kind of get comfortable in his own skin on the sidelines, picking his spots, when to throttle kids, when to yell at them, when to pat them on the back, high five. But that was just my biggest takeaway. It was like, there's definitely, I love this. And look at Joe Alt's reaction to this, Mike, if you can see it. It's hard to believe that that young man's going to be a top 10 pick, because he still looks like he's 14. I don't know if he's shaving yet, but watch this. He's like, oh, me? Yeah. Like, I really love this. I loved it. And they're having fun. And again, I just think they're confident, and it doesn't seem rehearsed. It doesn't seem like a put on. It seems like just genuine confidence and joy. And I think that's like a really, really going to be a real fun momentum piece heading into almost like your first offseason and heading into the bowl game. So that was just my biggest takeaway. And obviously, just thrilled for Audric Estime. Thrilled for him. You know, it's like we talked about it in the offseason prior to this year. It's like, man, he had the potential to become kind of a star and for him to go out on top. And there's another clip I saw from Notre Dame media. The Dan Near, Mike, they got more photographers on the sidelines than they do coaches. It's really something. But there's a clip at the end, and he's singing Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
The crowd, and he's just like, I love Notre Dame. He's like, whatever he said, he's like, I'm a Domer for life or something like that. And just good for him. Good for him. And it's also like, man, what could have been? had we just taken this blueprint and really stuck with it in some of those tough games that we had where we end up on the losing end. But what are you going to do?
This is like the ultimate what could have been season, man. It's but not, yeah. 9-3. Here we are, Mike. Just another 9-3. Maybe get to 10 wins. Glass half full or glass half empty on it. You know where I tend to be on it.
Yeah, you're half full. And I mean, I had a little, you were, unfortunately, you were part of a little back and forth with Tim Hyde and I last night. And it's like, we're both pushing each other's buttons. But I see where he's coming from in terms of bringing in a transfer quarterback. And it was kind of a safety measure for Freeman. It's like, hopefully we get to the 10th win and you just keep building, man. You know, it's like, everybody wants everything yesterday. They want everything to happen yesterday, but it's like, you can't see the young athletes that are getting sprinkled in. Coach Parker will continue to develop. I mean, the arrow's pointing up. Yeah. Maybe it's not pointing straight up, but we're climbing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There was, I was going through my phone and I had saw a picture that I'd screenshotted from a YouTube commenter, and he said, and I think it was after the Clemson game, he's like, I'm done with this team. I'm not watching Notre Dame the rest of the season. And his name was very familiar because I've seen him in every show since. So that's how it is, Mike. We're very passionate about our Notre Dame football. But at the end of the day, we rally behind the boys.
And again, it's like, if you're looking for signs of progress, the games where in years past you'd see us stumble and lose to, like, how the hell did you lose to, and this year would have been Louisville. And I think that's going to be a learning experience for Freeman as a young coach. But the games where we're supposed to handle business, even if we come out and, you know, trip over our own shoelaces like we have, it's like the talent wins out. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
The talent wins out, and then you end up taking care of business.
I got to I said this in my show last night, but I know we probably have more people on tonight that did not tune in last night. The amount of people that texted me and tweeted at me when Steve Angeli threw an interception was ridiculous. Oh, I mean, look at Kevin here. What did Goolsby text you, Singer, when Angeli threw that horrible pick? How about you, Hartman fanboys? Hartman's thrown eight of them this year, and you guys continue to just love up on him every time he throws a pick. But Angeli throws – listen, if you're not going to give Angeli any credit for when he does anything well in those games, you know, at the end of these games, I don't want to hear your shit about, you know, him throwing a pick. God forbid there was some miscommunication. He's thrown 50 passes or 20 passes, 25 passes in his career. You guys got to give me a break. I can't. Oh,
Singer, buckle up, brother. Buckle up. This is – the life that I've lived. So it's like, if you're going to go out on a limb, and you got to respect it, and you were at the front of the line in terms of the Angeli fan club. You were the founder, and you were the founder going back to high school.
Yep.
I mean, you've been in front of this for the longest time, but when you put yourself in that position publicly.
Look, I get it. I get it. That, you know, but just this. Hold on. Like, this is – what a dumb comment. I was Team Angeli on that throw. I mean, it's just so stupid. It's one throw of garbage time, guys, and you're losing your damn minds about it.
John Kennedy and I have been doing a pregame show just for fun, right? Almost like a virtual tailgate.
Yes.
It's been fun. And
I've always wanted to be a part of it, but, you know.
Good to know. I'll write it down. That's the first I've heard this, Singer, to be fair. But –
It is. I'm just
so it's like, even if you are Team Angeli, and maybe there's some people that have jumped ship since that pick, But it's like none of these kids, whoever you see, even a sixth-year quarterback, they're going to make mistakes. So it's like, just take that into consideration. Like, if you are Team Angel and you think he's got what it takes to be the starting quarterback next year, good on you. But also realize that he's going to have some hiccups. And it's just like, if something goes sideways for one pass, there's one errant pass, you can't say, F that guy, play the next guy. And it's like, and the only my only other thought in terms of the Angeli thing, they're like, okay, let's. The narrative's kind of shifted, Singer. Like, let's play somebody homegrown. Let's play our guys. Let's develop a kid. It's, and I'm sitting there listening. It's like, is there an echo in here? But if you're gonna, which again, I fully support, just in terms of building an actual program.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna go down that route, I would ask people to root for Angeli as much as you're rooting for Minchie.
Yeah.
I'm looking at them. Not the same, but I mean, in terms of like the category that they would slot into, they're both homegrown products. They've been in the program for a couple of years. Let's let this thing play out.
Yeah.
That's how I feel on November 26th.
Yeah. And as much for people jumping off the bandwagon from one throw, I don't know how much you should have been jumping on it from the garbage time. Like, they're nice little data points, all of it, but I mean.
Well, that. Yeah, and Singer, can I just add, and I'm speaking for you here. I'm speaking for you, so forgive me. You are a fan of Steve Angeli, and you're rooting for the kid. I don't think that I've ever heard Singer say he's the guy that's going to take us to a national championship. You haven't made any of these, like, bold proclamations. It's just like, dude, given my – he's my choice. I support that kid for whatever reason.
That's correct.
And you don't have to explain that.
Tim
– you might have to – 757 times over the next, you know, 6 months.
Yeah, Tim's always texting us and it's like, Singer, when are you gonna put your money where your mouth is on the Angeli thing? Why don't you declare him as the starter for next year? And I haven't done that. I don't know. I'm remaining kind of neutral on that. But what we shouldn't be neutral about, Mike, is our love for home field, because it's been a pretty awesome company for both of us to work with. The Collegiate clothing line based out of Indianapolis. They're committed to creating officially licensed and comfortable clothing. And they have some fantastic Notre Dame designs because they went back into the archives for those old school Notre Dame designs. And what they've created is very unique and thoughtful. Their designs are authentic and show that nostalgia of the Fighting Irish football program that you love so much. And they actually have licenses to over 150 colleges. So if you're Christmas shopping, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all that crap, go to homefieldapparel.com. Go ahead and get yourself a couple of Notre Dame shirts, and then get some stuff for your, you know, God forbid you have a Michigan fan in your family or Ohio State or something. You know, I'm sure they've got. I mean, for folks watching on YouTube, I mean, look at the list of schools they have here. Just absolutely loaded, and I'm sure you got some buddies, family members, whatever it may be, who are fans of these schools. So stock up on home field. Go ahead and order those now. Get them in time for the holidays. And I believe the Black Friday code is just use code Black Friday, 20% off. Let them know that Blue and Gold sent you in a review or whatever. That would be very helpful for us. It's a site that's very easy to shop to find that perfect college gear that you need to complete your game day outfits. Be prepared with homefieldapparel.com and use the promo code Black Friday. If you purchase something and it's not Black Friday time anymore, use the promo code BlueGold23. That'll get 15% off your first purchase with home field.
If you buy it for a Notre Dame fan or for a college football fan in your life, I'm telling you, they'll be thrilled. It's cool stuff, and it fits, like, to size. Just a tip out there. Like, it fits. If you're an XL, get an XL. If you're a whatever. It's good stuff.
Yeah, cool. Other thoughts on the game, Mike? I definitely want to touch more on – did you watch my show last night with Tim?
I did, of course, man. I never sleep, dude. I'm always up late watching this stuff.
I just want to make sure. So you heard my kind of discussion on how I'm glad that Estime kind of got his game, his due. I loved it. He got snubbed for the, right, Mike, like his sending off kind of party there, because I wouldn't expect him to play in the bowl game. I would imagine you would agree with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that he kind of got this like big outing here, that it was clearly in the game plan. Let's get him the ball. Yeah, I got snubbed for the Doak Walker Award semifinalist list. That's insane. I'll pull up his individual stats in a moment, but yeah, he had quite the season.
I had a couple thoughts on that. I spoke about this elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it was like, for sure, dude, Estime got snubbed. For sure. But I think Tim Hyde mentioned that. Like, and I didn't know this. Reggie Brooks finished like fifth in the Heisman race, and he wasn't a semifinalist or whatever for the same award as a tailback. So, but I'm sitting there going, of course, 100% Audric got snubbed. But on the same time, Maris Leifau, semifinalist for the Butt Kiss. So my question is to you and the audience, do those two cancel one another out? 21 tackles on the season for Marist, you know, 2.5 sacks, 21 per ESPN. I looked it up because I was like, what's his year been like?
No, 21 tackles. No way.
I looked it on the ESPN app before. Now, this is before Stanford. It was 21 tackles because I saw a little article and it might have been
solo. Okay, solo, but still.
Whatever.
39 total is not. So 21 solo, 39 total. That's not very good.
And then, I mean, imagine you're JD Bertrand, right, who's paced the team in tackles 3 years running. So it's just, you know, awards are awards.
Yeah.
Awards are awards.
It's why I like to tell people in recruiting, like, so-and-so wins X award. Like, that doesn't mean, like, so-and-so should be ranked higher, because it's just more media-type people. You know, it's not like there's politics that go into these things, like, awards and stuff.
My state championship game, I won player of the game. I had, like, one tackle. But it was like
– You're Mike Frick and Goolsby.
Yeah, I was the big shot recruit. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's absolutely true.
Yeah. But ENC says, Marist is a top linebacker in the country if the ranking included Flo. So there you go. And he does have a beautiful head of hair.
He's got stees, dude, between that and the tat. Like, he's got stees, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, he's an extremely violent player, very explosive player. He's fun to watch, just not as productive as you'd like.
But, back to Estime. Yeah.
I can't help myself. But, yeah, back to Audric. It was like he called his shot, too, I think. He's another one that gives you like really fun press clippings or really fun sound bites. But he was like, I'm going to make them feel me. This is me paraphrasing. I'm going to make them feel me. I'm going to do something legendary. And it's like, he damn near did. You know, I mean, he almost broke the single game record. He's up there in terms of yards per season. And then I was thinking about, remember Logan Diggs? Remember him, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was like, what's Logan Diggs doing down there in the bayou? So Logan Diggs this year, and this is nothing against Logan Diggs, but this was our starter. So he's went 118 for 652, 7 tutties on a 5.5 yard per carry average. Audric, Big Drick, as the team calls him. Another great nickname, too. I don't think we did enough with Big Drick on our platform, saying, or swing and a miss on our part.
Yeah.
Audric, 210 for 1341, 18 tutties, 6.5 yards per carry average. And it's like, what could have been had this kid been your bell cow throughout his entire time at Notre Dame? I mean, he's a great player. He's a great player. And that's kind of another draw to this game against a clearly inferior opponent. Get to see the young guys play. It's the circle of life, Singer. Cue the music. It's the circle of life.
The circle of life.
Nice. I see, you're not a big movie guy, but you have seen The Lion King.
I can confirm nor deny. You know how I am on that now, Mike.
Get to see the young kids play, and then you're ushering out a couple stars like Joe Alt. He shouldn't play in the bowl game, but like, he's been a great player for us. Audric shouldn't play in the bowl game. He's been a great player for us. So it was like, that's the last time, folks, that you'll see those guys wearing the Golden Dome.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to get to super chats in a moment. Trey Poole, see your $20 super chat. Thank you very much. If you have a comment, drop it now. In terms of like who you would like to see in the bowl game, some of these like fringe guys, maybe who would you like to see? Who would you not want to see in the bowl game? Like, of course, we all want to see everyone in the bowl game, but like we would probably think, yeah, Estime shouldn't play, all probably shouldn't play.
What do you mean when you say fringe? What do you mean? Just be
like, yeah, like
are they going to the league or not? Or
yeah, like is. Like a Cam Hart. Do you think Cam Hart should play in the bowl game or an Xavier Watts? Like, because a bowl game now, yeah, you know, if you're like a draft pick, it's kind of like iffy, right?
Well, these guys are yet to – Cam Hart's gone, right? He has no eligibility.
Right, yeah. He's gone, but like
– would so, he yeah, I don't – yeah, perfect, dude, perfect.
Yeah.
Cam Hart's been a good player. I've just never been like as big of a fan of his. I just haven't. For whatever reason, it's just me being an asshole. But yeah, Hart, I don't care if he plays. And Hart is a guy that we already know runs well. Like he's made that freak list. And Cam Hart is the type of guy, if he takes that extra month to heal and to train, and when they go to these combine camps, I mean, they're taking your blood. I mean, they're getting you dialed in. So, like, a Cam Hart could shave a tenth off of his 40 and make himself a ton of money.
Yeah.
And it's like, go do that. Go get that extra month in of training versus practicing for a bowl game. Xavier Watts, you brought up, Mike. Preseason preview show, I talked about, I hope that Xavier Watts has the type of season that allows him to leave. And anybody that sniffed the NFL like myself, anybody would tell him, any ex-player that's, again, sniffed the league, had a long NFL career, anybody would tell you, go, leave. And I won't hold it against the guy. Kyle Hamilton didn't play the last 7 games of his Notre Dame. Dude, he barely played his last year. Yeah. Because it was like he was, you know, going to be a first-round pick. And it's and you look at Xavier's background and what his family's went through and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Xavier, love you. Go get your money. Please, go get your money. And you're never going to have – it's going to be incredibly difficult. I shouldn't say never, but incredibly difficult to replicate. Your star's never going to be as bright as it is coming off the season that you had. So capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I don't know who else.
Yeah,
Fisher's going to be an interesting one.
I'm sorry, who?
Blake Fisher.
Him, Mills, Cross. Or all, I don't know. Interested to see what – I mean, yeah, all these guys in their futures.
Yeah. Mills, who I'm not sure, because Mills has moved around a lot. I mean, he's continued to put weight on. You know, he was an end last year. Now he's like a true three. So you could say there's probably room for improvement there. Not knocking his play this year. He's another one of my favorites. But like Cross, go. Like, again, you've been incredibly productive. I think he's second on the team in tackles. Your star is never going to be as bright as it is now. Go. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Fisher, I don't think had Fisher, and he's another one. He's gone through some things, lost some weight this year, right? Came in as a true freshman, got thrust into action, got hurt. I don't feel like Blake was ever really in shape. I think this year he got into shape, he lost weight. But if Blake hadn't been a 5-star, Mike, I don't know if fans would look at him the way that they do. I think the expectation for him was so lofty because of that 5-star rating. And he's been a good player. I still think that there's room for improvement there.
And then, yeah, the linebackers should all – I think the linebackers should all play in the game. But
oh, those guys will.
Yeah.
Those guys will. And Kaiser, you mentioned linebackers just – we're bouncing around here.
Yeah.
I'll be darned, dude, if Jack Kaiser just doesn't make plays, man. You know, he's here's a layup for you, Singer. He's gotten his hands on more balls in terms of like that crew of three between JD and Mary. I mean, he's just, and he plays like the most limited snaps. He's the most productive. I think he has eligibility. I get lost with this COVID year.
Me too.
Yeah, and the way they define it on the internet, it confuses my pea brain. But I'd like to see more of Kaiser, and I think that Kaiser's owed a chance to become the man, be a captain. He seems to be the fastest. Reports are he's the fastest. You know, he's smart. I think he can probably put on 5 pounds. You know, and be a true inside linebacker. So. That's one I'd like to see back. But yeah, I guess that'll play itself out in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure there's others we could talk about here.
Tyree's another one.
Tyree, no brainer.
God, he's been good, man.
Those two little outs he had. I think he play in the bowl game, come back next year, dude. I really think he should.
Yeah. But it's so funny. I mean, our two best wide receivers, arguably. I can't believe, kudos to Chris Tyree. I can't believe. And he is the guy that Sam seems to trust the most.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, in Faison. I mean, I'm just telling for these guys to run routes. Another fun thing about this game was just, yeah, I'm talking about Kaiser making a play. Jean-Jean Baptiste been a tremendous player for him. He might get my vote. I mean, Watts is probably going to run away with the defensive MVP. But outside, it's like, it's either Watts, it's Mills, excuse me, it's Watts, it's Cross, or it's JJB. I mean, JJB has been, he's jumped off the screen all year, so it's fun to see him make a play. Dude, Tobias Merriweather made a play, man.
He did. It was a nice
snag.
So
that was exciting to see. That was like, and I'm just talking about the team being comfortable, not playing uptight, having fun. Like, you watched him snag that, like it was just second nature. It wasn't like he didn't have time to think. You feel me on that?
Yeah. Who does the receiver room lose? You know, like we'll see on Colsey. Salerno's gone. Otherwise, dude, it's a young room. You're starting to feel a little good about that room, Mike.
Don't put me on the spot just yet.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't want to give an opinion just yet. Let me sleep on it. And then just other thoughts on the game, Mike, if I may.
Yeah.
I love Ashton Craig.
Yeah.
Bigger body. Zeke, love you. You've been a great kid, great for the program, but he's just too small, dude. I mean, if we're trying to make a playoff, trying to beat these SEC type teams, Zeke's just too small. He just is. And then the only other kind of trying to find an angle here, the tight end position. What this season has looked like. You lose a star in Mayer, and then it's like next man up. You could switch their jersey numbers. Mitch Evans looks exactly like Michael Mayer, more or less, probably a little bit longer, but runs routes just like him. He gets hurt, next man up, stays. He gets banged up for this game with a shoulder, and then who comes back? It's like you lose Mitch to a knee. Who comes back from a knee? Who's closing out the season? It's Eli Raridan. Yeah. And it's just, that's been interesting, just that whole, how that thing's evolved, how that position's evolved as you've gone through the year.
Yeah, just reloading there, for sure. We're going to go to Super Chats. First, we're going to hear from our sponsor, Barb Stevenson. So, folks, if you are looking for that perfect holiday gift for the Notre Dame fan in your life, or maybe even yourself, and Barb Stevenson art is what you're going to want to need to learn about. The premier destination for stunning pen and ink limited edition prints of the University of Notre Dame, South Bend's own award-winning artist, Barb Stevenson, skillfully captures the essence and beauty of Notre Dame's campus through her intricate pen and ink prints, which she meticulously enhances with hand-painted metallic gold accents, making each print unique and one of a kind. So folks, some of these advertisers we have are absolutely perfect for this time of the year, because Barb Stevenson art, you're definitely going to want to pick up or at very least consider for some holiday shopping. So for folks watching on YouTube, You know, you can see this. This is the Notre Dame collage iconic tree on the screen. For folks listening via podcast, you have the three beloved buildings of campus. You have the Basilica, the Golden Dome, and Touchdown Jesus. Well, I should say three of the most beloved. And the second print here, you have the Notre Dame Grotto, Spiritual Moments, which depicts one of the most quiet and serene places on campus, a very popular spot for prayer and meditation, as well as weddings, proposals, and visitors on football weekends. And then wrapping up, you have the Notre Dame Golden Dome, pretty self-explanatory, another iconic spot of campus. And then the fourth one, you have the shining view of the Golden Dome. And there's more prints on her website, which is barbstephenson.com, BARBSTEPHENSON.com, or you can give her a call, 574-210-8388. Order now for the holidays and receive free shipping anywhere in the continental United States. Again, barbstephenson.com, 574-210-8388. Mike, you ever spent some time at the Grotto when you're at Notre Dame?
Yeah. And I can recall I was in Boston for some schooling, for some training, and I was driving back, and I was at a weird spot in my life, and I needed to pray. And damn it, if I didn't make a side exit, what's the word? And I stopped at the Grotto, like, by myself, ran. I couldn't even, it was like fall or something. Was it out of football season, and spent some time there for sure.
Nice. Love that, Mike. All right. Super chats. SDS. Glad to see you as always. She asks, please give us five positives about the football program this season.
All right.
I can start, Mike.
We'll ping pong.
All right. How about the freshman receivers, Rico Flores, Jaden Greathouse, and the surprise of the season, Jordan Faison? I am feeling good about the future of that position, in large part due to those three young guys, man. They've looked fantastic.
This is lame, but I'm going to piggyback off of that. The running back room is something you should be thrilled about.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Okay.
What? I can keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is three. Just jump in if something comes to mind. I'm buying you time. Raritan.
Yeah.
I think he has all the ability in the world, and he is he's just different. And for him to get fully healthy, start to get his mojo back, some of these young guys, Mike, you just want to see him flash. I'm not even looking for consistency. Drake Bowen, I saw in the chat, Drake Bowen, better athlete than I thought he was going to be, and he flashed.
Yeah.
You got any more that come to mind?
How about number four, the amazing play calling of Jared Parker, probably one of the best coaches in the history of football. He's been amazing this year, Mike.
I think he's going to be retained for sure.
Obviously, guys, I'm joking a little bit. I'm teasing you guys. There's always the coach that's more or less the scapegoat. It was Al Washington all offseason. No one's talking about Al Washington anymore. That's a side note. But in all seriousness, how about just another opportunity to get the double-digit wins? I know it's kind of a glass-half-full outlook, but at something, Mike. If you're not going to get to a New Year's Six Bowl, hey, man, there's at least a benchmark. Go get the
thing. Yeah, and Parker's not going anywhere. And I know you're saying that tongue-in-cheek. Parker's not going anywhere. After the Clemson game, it was, like, inconceivable that he would be retained. But again, folks, this is his first year being like a true play caller. I think that confidence is an issue there, and that in those big games, he tends to tighten up, kind of does boneheaded things. It's like any player, I mean, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. I don't see him going anywhere. I don't. A fifth one, Singer, real quick, is, and this might be, you know, if you were to rank these, might be number one. Our corners are sick, dude. And that has been, you and I again have been doing this. This will be our third year?
It's fourth season.
We've done this 4 years in a row.
2020 COVID year, remember?
Unbelievable. No, I don't remember anything, dude. I don't. I honest to God, I don't. But like, I personally used to feel like when you would play these big games, like as far as the outside, we had a little pocket knife and they had an assault rifle. Like that's how it felt. It was like, man, we are just walking the plank.
Yeah.
And that has completely shifted. And now it's become arguably the strength of the defense.
Yeah.
That's a huge positive.
Yeah. How about playing that? Was it the 2020? Notre Dame made the playoffs in 2020 as a four seed and played Bama that COVID year. And it was just like, dude, night and day. I mean, Notre Dame's corners could not do anything in that game. And now it's like, yeah, you could stack up the, like, we're not talking about issues on the edge for Notre Dame defensively anymore. We're just not. And the future does look bright with Mickey and Christian Gray.
And then let's just keep going, but whatever, dude. We did an hour on the button last week. Like, and this is me sticking up for Freeman and staff, and even Tim has chirped a little bit about recruiting and this and that. It's like, oh, where's all the five stars? It's like, buddy, you know, Sauce Gardner was a nobody coming out of high school. He's one of the best corners in the NFL. Benjamin Morrison was a three-star, one of the best corners in college football. So it's like any of these three-star kids you see, A, please watch the film. You know what I'm saying? Like, watch the film. So who is the new corner we just got? Is it Cree Thomas?
Cree Thomas, yep.
I've yet to get to his film, but I see the measurables. I see height, and I'm just like, I'm good with that because they know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And Christian Gray, like you said, is kind of like a Benjamin Morrison clone, maybe even longer.
They do look similar.
So trust Freeman and his staff to recruit, to work, and then beyond that, to kind of have an eye for talent, regardless of the star ranking.
SDS, thank you for the very generous $20 super chat. This was from earlier. Jay Carr said, Goolsby so rich from Patreon, he had the Pac-12 network. Goolsby, I don't know how you had the Pac-12 network just dialed up, bro. And make sure you guys check out Goolsby's Patreon. It's in the bio of his Twitter account.
Yeah, it's in the bio of my Twitter. But yeah, we're up to 101 paid subscribers, man.
All right, nice.
You know, again, this podcast is going to benefit from that because now we actually have like an actual studio as opposed to a spare bedroom. I'm stoked for it, man.
Me too.
Rich is a relative term.
And then this was from a little bit earlier. Back Bay just said, thank you, Mike, for all your work this year. Back Bay, we definitely appreciate you and others tuning in, of course. Tyler Fisher, $5 super chat, said Buckner would have been 9-3, would have picked up the fourth and quarterback run against Ohio State. Awesome.
I didn't see it.
Thank you for the five, Tyler. Enjoy your night, buddy. BC, $5 super chat, says Bold Destination, who's out? Thanks for all you guys do. I firmly believe Freeman's building something. Bold Destination seems like Pop-Tarts Bowl or ReliaQuest Bowl. Both are in the Sunshine State. And guys like me are just hoping it's LSU for content. And then for who's out, I think, for like who's out of the bowl game, we touched on that a little bit earlier.
You got to stay tuned. Yeah, the Pop-Tarts Bowl, dude, I mean, just a sidebar, Pop-Tarts are to me what Taco Bell is to you.
Really?
Big Pop-Tart guy.
Okay, give me your flavors. What are you going – what's your – oh.
Just keep it simple. Just
brown some sugar?
Strawberry, unfrosted, you know. But it's like –
unfrosted.
I'm like, I'll keep them in the car because you're going to the gym later.
Okay.
You know, it's just a nice, easy way to carb load. But I mean, I eat way too many Pop-Tarts, dude.
Unfrosted strawberry. Is that for health? Just keep it unfrosted.
Well, dude, I don't want to eat a, chemical s'more Pop-Tart. Like, I don't want chocolate. Like, I don't want grape. No, dude. Like, the first Pop-Tart is the best Pop-Tart. It was like a strawberry Pop-Tart.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying, like, going back to Taco Bell's always got the, like, taco pizza with, like, the wet lettuce in there. It's like, dude, just give me a bean burrito. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah,
brown cinnamon sugar, though. That's the best. You can even get it unfrosted, Mike. But anyways, BC appreciates
brown cinnamon. No.
No, you're not a fan.
No, dude, just classic.
Classic. This just unlocks so much for me that Mike's just a huge Pop-Tarts guy. So do you always eat them on the go? Do you ever put them in the toaster?
Dude, somebody was talking about like, you know, raspberry, slightly toasted or whatever. God bless my girlfriend. I haven't been to the grocery store, like a meaningful grocery store trip in 5 years. So it's like, to save my life, I couldn't tell you where the toaster even is in the kitchen, where it's put away. So is this just straight convenience? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't lift my finger. So
yeah. Trey Poole had a very generous $20 super chat. Trey, if you posted a follow-up comment, something you wanted us to discuss, I missed it. Please post it in the chats. I would love to get to that. But otherwise, really appreciate on the generous super chat. And one from Jay Vitt. Good to see you tonight. He says, rolling with Mike and Mike through the offseason. Always exciting to enter an offseason. So many unknowns. And back to the hope of a championship season. Freeman is an upgrade. Prove me wrong. Any thoughts here, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, football is a traits game. Go with me here, Singer.
I'm with you.
If we're talking about the quarterback position, you know, you want loose hips, you want long arms, you want the ability to play the ball in the air, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, willing tackler, et cetera, et cetera. Like, and then you're going to develop those traits from there, right? That's why sometimes you'll see the Kansas City Chiefs drafted a defensive tackle from Memphis, Dontari Poe. He was like 3'10". He ran like a 4.79 at the combine and like made no plays in college. Had like one sack. And the guy runs like 4.8 at 3, whatever he was, 3.20. It's like, give me those traits and I'm going to develop them. Freeman has the right traits. And it's up to him to kind of develop himself as a coach, as a leader, et cetera. Does that make sense? So if he's an upgrade, he has the right traits. It's just like, so that game day operation's going to kind of tighten up, and that's him developing. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, he is not a finished product. Most of the kids he's coaching aren't a finished product. So if I'm looking at him from like a character standpoint, leadership, work ethic, charisma, humility, charm, the coaching will come along. Because it's like, you could be a great X's and O's guys, but be a piece of shit as a human being. And it's like, I'd rather have the former.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Javit, appreciate the super chat as always. I just figured out after 4 years of doing 3 year, 4 year, whatever of doing this, how to find a comment back from someone from an earlier comment. So I found Trey's comment that go with the super chat. So I'm hyped up about that. But we're going to hear from Augie's locker room, another longtime sponsor of Blue and Gold. We're very appreciated of Augie's support. It is the destination when you are in South Bend to find some one-of-a-kind Notre Dame items. And that's, of course, Augie's Locker Room. And Augie has moved to a brand-new location. You can see his new spots at 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend. It's right down the street from Notre Dame. So whenever you come in to town, you really need to make sure you stop in Augie's Locker Room. They have the wide selection of Notre Dame stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, one-of-a-kind Rockne items, and you can find exclusive Joe Montana signed items and famous sculptor Jerry McKenna's replicas of the Brown statues that you find around the stadium. And Augie gets new stuff in all of the time. If Augie doesn't have something in a store, he's going to go find it for you. So visit Augie at 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. He's got some amazing stuff that you're going to want to check out. Visit AugiesLockerRoom.com. Give him a call, 574-277-6363. And Mike, you have an update. Did we talk about the update on the Augie's thing last week's show?
The saga continues.
Yeah.
I got a text back. So just for folks not familiar, real quick, this is pre-NIL, pre-Dove Skincare, pre-Dollar Shave Club. Your boy was broke. Broke is a joke. My other co-captain, I think Ryan Grant might have even went with us. Myself, Ryan Grant, and I know Carlisle was there. Gentleman in South Bend, diehard collector. We sold him some memorabilia, one of those being my jersey. All my other football stuff got stolen during a move. Like, the movers ganked my stuff. So I basically have nothing. I have a helmet. I did find some old awards in a bin in the attic. So I'm like, I reached out to Augie, said, hey, can you help me find my jerseys? Like, I know the guy. Bada bing, bada boom. We're texting. He texts me back, I found him. Sends me a picture of myself and Carlisle's jersey. I just said, let me know what you need from me. There might be a trade going on, Singer. You know, I borrowed a chair from the stadium, from like the team meeting rooms. They had these like cool embroidered chairs. I borrowed it. I just haven't given it back yet. And I'm like, maybe we swap the chair for the jersey, whatever. But when I get it, I'll probably wear it on the show. And then I will have it framed.
All right, so I'll pop it up on the screen here. So there's the power of Augie's locker room. So you...
The power, like I said, so the moral of the story is, folks, if you need something, if you've got that, like, dream item, call Augie. It's
call
like,
Augie.
If you can't find it, you're SOL. Continue. Sorry, Singer.
So 20 years ago, you sold this jersey and you're going to get it back. So that thing has been in the ether for 20 years and Augie found it like that.
It took 17 minutes.
That's insane. We said this last week. Everyone needs to know the guy. Mm-hmm. And Augie's the guy for this. Like, there's always the guy, right?
No, and I'm from Chicago. So, like, I pride myself on having a guy. And if I don't have a guy, I know a guy that's got a guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is just another arrow in my quiver, dude. I got a guy.
I love it. I love it. Cool. Augie's locker room, and that phone number again, folks, is 574-277-6363. Don't call him about, you know, your lawn. Call him about, you know, Notre Dame memorabilia.
He's not going to find that sock that went missing in the dryer.
He's not that guy.
No, no. But yeah, anything based off of this experience, I'd feel pretty confident. Like, anything Notre Dame related, just like, you had that one fan, that player you were a diehard fan of, whatever is the case, that'd be my first phone call.
Total side note, I'm just reading the chat. People talking about Mike Elko leaving Duke to become Texas A&M's new head coach. How about if Marcus Freeman didn't get the Notre Dame head coaching job, I'm pretty sure he would end up at Duke as their head coach. So, kind of a... I just remember hearing a lot, you know, from sources that Duke was really liking Marcus Freeman as an option. Just kind of a random note out there.
Well, it beats them going after Coach Freeman. A&M.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know,
we keep crossing paths with Mike Elko. He'll be that Texas A&M program is kind of icky, you know, like. There's a lot of money being thrown around, a lot of egos involved. I don't know what the culture, like the prior head coaches are called kind of scummy. I mean, Jimbo Fisher, give me a break. So I think Mike Elko is a good man. And I think it's going to be a huge challenge to kind of rein all this in down there. But the resources are endless. But I think he could be really good for that culture. I do.
All right. How about this? This tweet I saved from Carter Correll's. He screenshotted a part of an article from The Athletic, I believe. So this is talking about Jimbo Fisher and A&M. The pursuit of the top-ranked 2022 class, which is the highest rated in the modern era, became an obsession for Fisher and his staff to the point that Fisher inquired about the 24/7 class calculator and how certain commits would affect A&M's ranking. The former A&M recruiting staffer said Fisher ignored character questions if the recruits were five-star prospects. That is the antithesis of Notre Dame.
So he's saying Fisher wouldn't want to get a commitment from a kid if it would lower their ranking?
Yes, essentially. Yeah. Could that not be more – guys, I mean, I'll just say that's the opposite from Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame would like their guys to be ranked higher, of course. It looks better, but like they don't get like Logan Saldate, 3-star across the board. He's, you know, ranked in the thousands nationally.
Well, in the Isaiah Canyon one, Isaiah Canyon was a 3-star and then he got stolen.
And then what do these guys do? Shoot right up the rankings.
Yeah. But I talked about this, and part of that Patreon is to kind of give people a glimpse behind the curtain to some of how the sausage is made. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I think sometimes fans give coaches too much credit. Like, they do boneheaded things. Like, this is,
yeah, they're what human.
What you just said was stupid, you know? And it's just like, you think that these coaches are like scouring film. Like, this guy's just going through a, he's got an endless NIL bags of cash to throw out. He's just going through a catalog. Like, I want that kid. I want that kid. And I want that kid. Not even evaluating them. How are they going to mix in with the team? Whatever, whatever. And I mean, that's a guy making $10 million a year.
It's probably what some, you know, people that I deal with on our message board and what and our YouTube chats would be like if they were head coach at A&M with endless money. Yeah.
No. I mean, we love the fans, but I think if the average fan had a make a wish and they got to like sit in Coach Freeman's seat or sit in Coach Parker's seat, you know, for a week, I think their head would explode. I really do. I think they go home in tears.
For sure.
Yeah.
Trey Poole, $20 super chat. This is an interesting one. He says, thoughts on Parker and Gadooly sharing offensive coordinator next year. Rumor has it that is the likely outcome.
These are just my thoughts. If that's what Freeman wants, I'm going to support it. Does that mean that Gino's got to go up in the booth? I don't know. I mean, Gino has been Hartman's personal concierge during the game. I mean, they are hip to hip. They're talking between every single snap. So if you do have an Angeli, a Minchie, a more less battle-tested quarterback next year, not having that personal coach on the field, does that affect their development? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm for it. I dig it. What does that look like where Parker takes care of the run game and Gino focuses more on the passing game? I don't know. My big ask would be, and this is probably related or tied into the quarterback competition that we're about to have, is like, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. What are the criteria for the competition? How do you win the competition? Like, what are the criteria? What are these kids being assessed on? But it's also like, Freeman, what do you want this offense to look like? And then you give those two guys the homework, like, this is what I want. This is what I want this game. This is what I want during the course of the game, the Clemson game. Hey, guys, feed estimate. Like, we're within 8 points. Give it back to them. You know, call down. That's a big, big part of Freeman's job, is to direct his underlings to do as he, you know, wishes, right?
Sure. Trey Poole, thank you
for the play call is one thing, the agenda is another.
Yeah. Trey, thank you for the generous super chats. Jim, $10 super chat. He says, Mike, reality check, given Notre Dame's protocols and culture, can we ever truly stockpile the skill position athletes we see at Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Washington, etc.?
I think it's difficult. I think it's difficult for whatever reason. Recruiting high academic skill kids, it's difficult. But that being said, we've done it on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we're finding these corners. I mean, and folks, I'm always going to reference the Nebraska Cornhuskers because I live here.
Mm-hmm.
Their two best deep threats. I mean, the one kid's Jalen Lloyd, who's like an Olympic qualifier, triple jumper. Like, he caught one pass for 64 yards last week. Why? Because the son of a gun can run. And they got another true freshman like Malachi Coleman, who ran 10 400 meters at like 6'3". So it's like, that's a thing where it's like stockpiling skill positions. I think you can stockpile it. Are we going to try and stockpile 4 stars high, you know, a Cam Williams type? That's difficult. Cam Williams is a bit of an anomaly in all the right ways.
Yeah.
But I just go back to that receiver position, find kids that can run. I don't care what I want track times and GPAs. And then we go from there.
How about that on a t-shirt, Mike? Track times and GPAs.
I got a list right here, dude. I swear to God.
I love it.
Jim, thank you. Need another sheet. Anyways.
Eric, a $5 super chat. He says, I love the show. Is Reese the actual problem? Bama's offense has been looking good lately. Mike, where do you want to go on this one?
I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you. Between, I work 7 days a week. So between training kids, Saturdays and Sunday mornings, my rest of this time is doing the two podcasts that I do. I don't watch any other college football because I have a regular job outside of that. So I couldn't tell you, man. I watch Notre Dame.
I barely get to watch other college football as well, Mike. It's like if Saturday, like if Notre Dame plays at 7 o'clock on Saturday, and this is kind of like a day off for me until the game, you think I'm just sitting watching football? Like, no, I'm out full on working.
I'll send you that link. I got that grant again this year so I can train underserved kids around town.
Nice.
And then there's, I don't know if you've heard of Boys Town, but Boys Town is like Asperia. But you could Google it. Google Boys Town, Omaha.
Okay.
But it's like a place for underserved kids. They have a receiver prospect that's 6'7", Marcus Gray. And I'm like, I'll train you for free. Come over here. You know, and he's a freak, 2025 kid. Has no idea what he's doing. He's playing at this random high school program. But so I'm going to have my hands full with that. Now,
nice.
I said I only watch Notre Dame. Over the holidays, my girlfriend's never seen Rudy. Her mother had never seen Rudy. We watched Rudy like Thursday night, or I think it was Thanksgiving night. And it goes back to there's a scene in the movie. I know you haven't seen it either, you son of a bee. Have you seen Rudy?
Come on, Mike. Of course I've seen Rudy.
Okay, but you know the scene where he's like, we only watch one team in this house, right? He's like, can you turn on the Purdue game at halftime? He's like, we only watch one team in this house. And it's like, that's how I feel anymore.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Eric, thank you for the super chat. Jay Vitt says, Goolsby, we're exactly on the same page, and that terrifies me. The super chat was about 20 minutes ago, so I don't know what this exactly entails. But there you go, Mike.
Thanks for watching.
Jay Vitt. Thank you very much. Watching
too much, dude.
Crash Davis, $20 super chat, says, love Goolsby's thoughtful answer. Singer's doing a great job of just letting him talk. Love the Sunday shows and hope we get them for years to come. Crash Davis, that is certainly the plan. Thank you for your support.
I'm done. When we win a national championship, I'm done.
That's right. So then hopefully not too long.
I'm going to quit this show and Singer's going to shave when that happens.
Oh, dude, I meant to shave the other day. I forgot.
On air, and then we're going to.
Shave on
it. You're gonna, if Notre Dame wins a national championship, you're gonna shave that filthy mustache, and we're gonna fade to black.
Dude, I will shave. I'll shave the every. I'll shave my head, dude. Like, that'll be amazing. And I love that it's Goolsby's thoughtful answer. Since for me, it's just let the man talk. It's less Singer is a better show. That's what I. Hey, man, it's easy for me. I like
love it. To talk, dude. It's a gift and a curse, man.
I have my recruiting show. That's where I get to rant a little bit. Tyler Fisher wants everyone to know, don't go to the transfer portal for a quarterback or a kicker. So there you go, folks. Tyler Fisher, appreciate the $2.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're going to do it for a kicker. And Freeman said we're gonna find one, a fourth one in the portal as far as quarterback's concerned. I'm gonna save any commentary until we've kind of know more details. But I just look at the archetype. Is it a backup kind of numbers guy, development guy that's there to help foster CJ Carr and these other guys, or is it a would-be starter that's there to air quote compete for the job?
Yeah,
so it kind of comes down to the archetype for me.
Cool. So Michael says, is that the game day jersey Goolsby wore from the Tennessee game, that one that we popped on the screen?
Mike, yeah, would have been they put yeah would have been again yeah I guess it would have been and they I have a side story.
Yeah, please.
People love these side stories.
Oh, I do too. Go for it.
So like I had my junior year, my first year starting, and again, I sat out my senior year because I jacked up both my shoulders. And I wanted, like, back then, they had, like, those high-cut jerseys, Singer, like the high-cut ones, like you see, like, the Bosa brothers wearing now. And I was, like, when I went to the combine, I was 249. So I was swole, dude. I was big. And the jersey was so tight that like the four and the one were like bowed down the middle because the jersey was so tight. Big mistake looking back on it. I wish I would have got like a size bigger for the jersey. I think it made me a lesser player. Because I, you know, it's like you're wearing a, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like there was no movement.
Yeah.
But
it's too tight.
But no, that would have been the same jersey. And then they put the, it's got the inside.com bowl patch on it. So I could probably take that patch off if I so choose. But yeah, that'd be it.
Yep. So there it is. I absolutely love it, man.
No, I'm thrilled to get it. I mean, it means, I mean, especially the other thing is like, I'm not a very sentimental person, but as you get older, and again, this show has kind of made me more sentimental in a lot of ways towards Notre Dame. But yeah, I think it's really important to get it back. So I'm looking forward to it.
Michael, thank you for the $5 super chats. And then super chat here, Singer, are you going to the Notre Dame Georgia Tech game 2024 at Mercedes-Benz? Hell to the yes, I will be at that game. It's like 25 minutes from my house. That is a great, great trip for your boy. I'm in the Mercedes-Benz all the time, you know, for different stuff. So absolutely will catch me at that one.
What? I thought the way I heard that, I was like, yeah, I thought I heard you say I'm in a Mercedes-Benz all the time. I'm like,
oh, I wish. No, I am a Atlanta United season ticket holder. So that's the MLS team in Atlanta.
Can I guess what kind of car you drive? I've never asked you this before.
Go ahead.
Jetta, Volkswagen Jetta.
Damn. No, not a Jetta.
Oh, okay. You don't have to tell me. I was just curious.
Nah. I rock a Kia K5.
Nice.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not the Stinger, but you know,
I drive a 20-year-old Land Cruiser, so it's got 317,000 miles on it.
Damn. Trey Poole, I'll see you there, brother. People are saying Prius. Damn. Oh, Singer's not driving a Prius.
It's the cats. It's the cat Singer.
Singer seems like a Kia guy. He is our super underrated. I agree.
No, it's a nice car, dude. It's a nice car.
Yeah, it's, you know.
And it's a terrible thing to spend money on, Singer. You know this vehicle. Yeah. Terrible thing to spend money on.
Yeah, for anyway, sure.
Dude, what else is going on? We got any other super chats?
We are caught up, my friend. Good solid hour. So we will get you on a show or two or something in December leading up to bowl game. So
let's do one with Tim.
I definitely.
Up. I mean, I probably won't be.
Can I get you for signing day?
Oh yeah, for sure, dude. When? And so that's the 20th, right? December 20th.
20th.
Yeah. So I'm going to do a recruit breakdown for sure on the Patreon. I think we've already probably talked about these kids on this show, but I'm going to really kind of get in depth to that. I really look forward to that. But yeah, dude, I'm down. I'm down.
Yeah, let's get you and Hyde on the signing day show, and we'll do some kind of like bowl preview. We'll do another Sunday show before the bowl game. Then obviously we'll do the Sunday show, or like the day after, you know, depending on when the bowl game is, we'll do like a day after the bowl game show. I will be in San Antonio probably during the bowl game, but we'll definitely figure something
out. You'll be down there for the combine?
San Antonio, yeah, for the All-American Bowl. Will I be there for the combine? I don't think so.
Do they do
maybe part of it?
We're talking on air. But do they do the combine and then the game? Is that how it's set up?
Yeah, the combine's on the Friday and then the game Saturday.
Do you know a guy down there in terms of those invites?
For the combine?
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd like to get that person's
contact. Hey, and you know what I am sometimes, Mike? I'm the guy.
You got a guy.
I'm the guy for some of the things, you know? Remember, you know, helping with the
very stage advice, but I've got, like I said, this year I think I've got two or three kids I'm going to train that legit have a legit shot, and that's a fun little carrot to dangle out there. So yeah. I'd love to,
yeah,
get a couple down there. So
sounds good, dude. Anyway. Yeah, I'm the guy. I love it. All right, well we're gonna put it there. If you have not done so yet on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, folks. Subscribe to the channel, of course, for more content. If you are new here, go to blueandgold.com for more Notre Dame football and recruiting coverage. We will catch you guys, as always, next time. Enjoy your night, folks.